And we're back with another episode of the ANS podcast. My name, as always, is Anthony Maxwell. I'm here with the gorgeous, talented, and freshly dyed hair, Miss Olivia Jaskolka. I'm assuming you've freshly dyed your hair.
It's always freshly dyed, thank you, Anthony. I wouldn't dare come on a podcast with the roots, just in case you pull me up on it.
Well, season one, we did have Root Watch, and I do think we should bring that back.
I think we should squash Root Watch. I don't think we need it.
How have you been anyway?
Yeah, I've been brilliant. Thank you. Thank you. Keeping really busy, getting out and about. I've been on a little holiday.
Where did
got
you go?
Myself, I went to Greece for a week. So I got myself on a plane and I've escaped the madness of the UK. So yeah, I'm feeling very refreshed and relaxed and ready to go again.
How was it over there? Was there lots of restrictions or anything? Or did it just feel like pre-pandemic days?
It felt pre-pandemic. It was lovely. Everything's outside, isn't it? It's so hot. You just lie on the beach and sit by the pool and drink a few cocktails. So yeah, that was my lovely, lovely week away. How have you been?
I have been, well, I'm going away next week. So I've basically been sat by the front door waiting for a taxi to take me to the airport.
Oh, that's very
key. Yeah, it's been as I don't know if I'm allowed to mention this, it'll get cut out, but I did get promoted recently. So
you did?
I did.
Very well deserved. Well done.
It's been I haven't stopped, to be honest. It's you know when you look in other people's calendars when you're trying to get a meeting time and it says focus time that they put in there and I'm like, oh, well, that's just, I'm going to take their focus time away from them because what I have is more important. I have discovered the value of focus time, of not going from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting and meeting and talking solidly throughout the day and not actually having a chance to digest what you're saying and what people are saying around you. And
yeah, do you know what? I think there might be another podcast episode in that somewhere because I've recently too realised the value of slowing down a little bit, giving yourself time to think because otherwise you can't function at that high level and high capacity all the time. Something's got to give. So yeah, respect people's focus time, please, Anthony. Give them back.
Exactly. I can say now the shoe is on the other foot. I have empathy and I'm kind of ashamed of the way I behaved before. Well, maybe not that dramatic. Actually, I am quite dramatic. We'll keep it at that. But yeah, but it's going really well. It's more challenging than I think I had expected, but I wanted to be challenged. And I feel that at that sort of professional development stage in my life, it's come at the most perfect time. So yeah, it's going really, really well. We are not alone.
We're not alone.
We're here with our, well, I'm going to call her a special co-host. And she is, and I'm going to read this verbatim because I'm terrible at remembering stuff. Industry lead for retail, transport and hospitality and is our Women in IT ambassador. Miss Megan Corlett is with us today. Hello, Megan.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. So, I'm going to say this, you are one of the largest fans of the podcast and you've never missed an episode, is that correct?
I feel really, really honoured to actually be on the podcast. It's my first time, but yeah, listen to every single one. I feel like I've missed out on a massive kind of ANS phase. So yeah, love them all, listen to them all, and thrilled to be featuring today with the two amazing hosts, but also Becky Taylor, who I'll let you introduce. And
yeah, we're going to get onto Becky in a second because she is our super special celebrity guest. But I just want to talk a little bit about you, Megan, because you were also recently promoted in the last few months to industry lead for retail, transport and hospitality. So what exactly does that really mean? And tell us a little bit about your time at ANS.
Yeah, definitely. Good question. So industry lead or vertical lead, well, there's a couple of different names for it, but essentially my responsibility is helping our team of account managers that are aligned to our retail, transport and hospitality customers, support our customers in executing their digital, cloud and data strategies by leveraging ANS's portfolio of services.
Wow.
I've been with the business for about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So joined the team as an account manager, which of course is a sales role. And then, yes, got a promotion to the vertical lead position back in April. So super, super exciting times. Lots of opportunity ahead. Fantastic vertical and an industry to be working in. Love shopping, love retail, love understanding how businesses work, kind of distribution, supply chain. So much to go at.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, also the Women in Tech Ambassador for 2021.
Sorry, I was just going to interrupt you because when you said the word shopping just then, I was like, when you went, I love shopping, I was thinking, well, I did think of Liv actually, but
my ears pricked up. How has Megan got the perfect job? Just love shopping.
So you get to shopping, I'm thinking, what discounts do you get? And I'm like, hang on, I work with in the same business. And, actually, that's a good question. So do you get any like perks from retail?
Oh no, I wish I did. Obviously, we've got a really kind of comprehensive portfolio of customers, from mid-market to larger enterprises, the likes of Fennec, Costa Coffee, Music Magpie. But no, don't get any discount. My role is primarily supporting our customers execute the digital transformation projects. I'd be lying if I said maybe I haven't kind of with some of the stronger network asked if there's any additional benefits, but no, absolutely not. It's purely business.
That's it.
Keep asking, Megan. You'll get there one day.
Exactly.
Persistence is key, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What you want is a gift basket, but instead of it having pot puree in it, it's got shoes. I know that sounds does that sound sexist? I don't know. But speaking
we'll
of
go
I've got into loads of trouble in that in the past. But speaking of diversity, do you see what I did there?
I'm going to introduce to
Becky Taylor, who is the founder of Tech Returners. She is a diversity celebrity in the world of tech, and she's done an absolute, when I look at her list of her achievements, it absolutely just not floors me. First of all, Becky, welcome, and how do you do it all?
Great question. Welcome, thank you for having me. It's been amazing to be invited to your podcast, so thank you for having me. How do I do it all? Good question. Juggling, a lot of juggling. I've got 2 young children. So I've got Ethan, who is 8, and Emmy, who is 2. But it's not just my achievements. I've got an amazing co-founder and an absolute amazing, talented team behind us, and an even more amazing community. So it's a joint effort in terms of where we've got to so far. And it's only just the beginning as well.
Oh, tell us about Tech Returners, Becky. What is it, and you know, how did it start? How did the idea start, and what's it evolved into over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I'll give you a bit of background. So my background is people, HR and talent. So I've been involved in that industry for the past 18 years. I always say 18 years, but then I always say I never add the year on that I get older. So God knows how many years it probably is. And then the past 15 of those years been involved in technology. So before Tech Returners, scaling high growth tech businesses through the value of people. So my last role before setting up Tech Returners, worked for a SaaS-based business in Manchester as their HR director, where I met James. He was the head of development there. And 8 years ago, as I mentioned, had my first child, Ethan, and it was my whole first-time experience of transitioning out and then back into an organisation. At that time, I probably didn't realise the impact, but when I came back after maternity leave, it really started to resonate with me how it affected not only my confidence, my skill set, just the networking, because everything seemed to be in the evening and you couldn't go because I had a young family, and sort of realised not only was I the only woman sat on a leadership team of 13, but I also became the first parent as well. So when I came back, those of you who haven't met me, I very much will, I won't just sit and dwell on it. I'll put things into action. I reached out in terms of my network and met a wonderful lady called Arzu, and we quickly formed Women in Tech North. So it's a community meetup group. You can find it on meetup.com. And we set it up with a view to basically increase diversity and inclusion within technology. So that's been going but just over 5 years now, and we're now the third largest women in tech community globally. And wow. We were starting to have conversations about the barriers around the numbers. I'm sure we all know we don't need to sort of focus on that point. But it became more and more apparent around the lack of support about people returning to technology after a career break. And there was just nothing supporting people. So back in 2017, James and I got our heads together and said, right, okay, what if we could create an initiative to help people upskill? So people who have had technology careers before, upskill, and then transition them back into technology. We set up a couple of pilot projects, the first one being 100% female, and then the second one 90%, which was sort of like unheard of in the technology sector. And it really grew from there, and great successes. We had people go to the likes of Auto Trader, thinkmoneyao.com from those initial cohorts. And then we wanted to make it a commercial model, but always remaining true to our core value, which is accessibility. So on our tech returners program, no one pays to come and upskill and transition back into technology. So we work with organizations to create a sponsorship model. So people who are hiring tech talent, they sponsor places on the program to then have the ability to hire tech talent at the end of it. And I'm delighted to say that Paul Shannon was one of our first advocates. We had a meeting with him, and he and ANS were one of our first sponsors on our collective cohort, which was absolutely amazing, and hired two tech returners from that cohort that I believe, you know, are doing really well within ANS.
Yeah, so that was a couple of years ago, wasn't it, that we first got involved?
Yes, yeah, definitely. Sarah and Simon,
And I believe they were still with us as well, which is absolutely fantastic. As you mentioned there, Becky, they've had a really fruitful journey, and we're thrilled to say that, you know, they're still part of our team, which is just fantastic. And probably kind of definitely one of the reasons why we've continued to partner with you and kind of branch out to some other areas, such as the confidence community and some other initiatives, which I'm sure we'll move on to. But so interesting how big your kind of company's grown and all of the achievements. I know you mentioned there that you're one of the third biggest kind of companies focusing on the diversity and tech returners, which is just phenomenal. So big congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you. It's amazing. Me and James always said, like, back in 2017, it was just me and him. Mm-hmm. And our first contract that we won, unbelievably, was the BBC. And, you know, it's one of those moments when you look across each other and going, yeah, right, okay, this is just us, and we've done this. And now we've got a team of, we've just hired two more people. So going to increase to a team of 16 over that short period of time, you know, work with amazing organisations like yourselves, grown into other areas such as Women in Leadership through the Confidence Collective, which you've supported two of your women leaders on there, and also the DevOps program. And it's just going, you know, just going so well. Don't get me wrong, it's been tough, you know, a lot of hard work and navigating, right, well, where do we go next? Obviously the pandemic hit in, you know, and that's stalling it, but it was literally, we just kept on our own journey, our own vision of what we wanted to create. And, you know, I'm just so amazed of what's happened to date so far.
I've got a question. Sorry, I'm terrible for interrupting. I've got a question. So, because technology is always moving so quickly, and for people that are returning to like professional technology careers and things like that, what are the main fears that people have? Because I would say, like, because there is a thing called imposter syndrome, which I think a lot of people, you know, fall foul to at some point in their professional lives. But is there any kind of like mental health barriers that people have to overcome when returning to the world of tech that you've come across?
Yeah, great question. So we always say, in terms of from a technology point of view, that they've had experience before, so they understand the infrastructure. All that's changed in technology is in terms of the language syntax that in terms of that they're using. So in terms of our refreshing on the technology, we're just refreshing that because they've got a core skill there. What we do find is, like you said, very much from a confidence perspective. So these people are probably tried to re-enter careers back the traditional way, you know, jobs, job sites, recruitment agencies, and they've continuously been knocked back because they have a gap on their CV. But it's not a gap. They'll have done personal projects. They'll probably created websites for friends and family. They've raised children, which I'm not joking, there's no mean feat. And probably done some volunteering or worked in school initiatives. The huge amount of transferable skills that have been overlooked is just so significant. So they haven't just been sat there for a couple of years not doing anything. And people overlook that. So then they've got been knocked back, confidence dips, and they go, well, I can't do it anymore. There's just no way of me coming back into technology. And that's probably where, you know, our program really emphasizes 50% technical upskill, but it's 50% personal development as well. So we focus on building confidence, resilience, talking about imposter syndrome, because that's where the barriers are. They don't have that self-belief that they can actually transition back. And our team are just absolutely amazing in terms of helping them support through that. But what we say is, you know, we can give you the tools. We are an enabler at the end of the day. We talk a lot about growth mindset and having that right mindset to transition, that, you know, it's not going to be easy, but it's the power of yet. You know, you might not know it yet, or it might not be there yet, and not writing themselves off. And yeah, I do agree, in terms of the biggest challenge is their own mindset and the confidence around that.
I love the power of yet. I've never heard it.
Carol Dweck. So Carol Dweck is, in terms of from a growth mindset, amazing talk at Google she did. If you Google it, Google the talk. amazing talk she did. She's got an amazing book, and it's all about having a fixed and a growth mindset. For fixed mindsets, very much, I can't do this. Well, it's too hard, I'm never going to get there. And then it's changing it into that growth mindset, saying, I don't know it yet, I'm on that journey to get there. You know, very much changing your language internally can really open your mind and help you in terms of learning and developing yourself. So it's very powerful stuff. They do it a lot with children, but now more and more so it's creeping into adults as well.
Yeah. So Becky, is that where the confidence community idea came from, that you were seeing a lot of these challenges, you know, people were coming to you with these worries and concerns, and you were helping them, and then obviously through Tech Returners you've developed the confidence community?
Yeah, so the confidence community, so that again comes from a personal story of mine. So when I first got, all those years ago, my first leadership position, I worked for three male directors, and you know, when you get that role and you start to read the books and, you know, listen to talks and things like, and go to conferences, I always thought, oh, I had to be, as a leader, you know, this person who's always negotiating, being really assertive, being quite loud, you know, and really not being true to myself. And I just didn't feel comfortable doing it. And I reached out to a coach at the time, and I was just explaining it to her. And she was saying, it's all about understanding yourself, understanding your natural strengths, and then how to utilize them, adapt them into different situations. So when, obviously, we set up Tech Returners, and I'm a great believer, we've got to tackle diversity and inclusion at every level. So we can build in that pipeline. So, you know, there's amazing initiatives on the younger generation into schools, colleges, boot camps, university, etc. We've got returners. But then we do need to focus on the leadership level, because those are the people that are making the decisions. And the statistic across the UK is there actually is only 5% of women leaders in tech. So, and then more surprisingly to me, there wasn't really any programs programs really focused on developing women in tech leaders. So I put together a four-month program back in 2018, focusing on real leadership skills. So understanding who you are, understanding and utilizing your natural strengths, knowing in terms of from confidence and resilience and imposter syndrome, what they actually are and how to manage them. So a bit of a toolkit, building out your brand, whether that's internally and externally, and being real in terms of real leadership. So how to deliver effective feedback, how to manage people, how to have conducting effective conversations, etc. We've taken now, we're in the process, just over 80 people, women through that program. And we've seen huge successes that, interestingly, a lady called Anna Dick, who's CTO at Hiring Hub, she messaged me last week. She's become on the board of Tech Nation. She said she would never have done it if she hadn't been on the course. We've had people do TED Talks, win awards. I know the two ladies that you put through the program in terms of putting out video content and really embracing the opportunity to put themselves out there. And the whole ethos around the confidence of communities to develop yourself to succeed, but most importantly, then to inspire others. For our first cohort that's just started, we've done a mixed cohort. So it's not just in terms of women, but males as well who want to develop and also obviously form themselves as real leaders within their organisation as well. So, yeah, it sort of falls hand in hand in terms of what we do, you know, in terms of helping people at every level develop themselves to be effective within their organisations and community.
Sorry,
Liv. I was just gonna kind of layer on the fact that you mentioned there, Becky, around, you know, the two candidates from our internal community at A&S, both Cheryl and Zoe, who attended the last cohort, have had such a positive experience. And I think not only that, if we look at how they're kind of executed against that and putting it into the daily practices. So Cheryl works in our people operations and HR team, and Zoe works in our user experience and design digital team. And it's just so refreshing and rewarding to see the benefits that they've got out of it. You know, they've got all of the right skills and the right ingredients. Sometimes it is, you know, whether we call it imposter syndrome or a slight dip in confidence, or perhaps, you know, not focusing as much as we maybe can on growth mindset, pulling all of that together and then put it into practice has been really, really rewarding.
And it was literally a week after they finished the program, I ran one of the Women in Tech meetups, and I asked their cohort, I said, who would like to do a talk? Both Cheryl and Zoe participated. And I've got to say, in particular, Zoe's talk, she talked all about in terms of her journey to where she was now, and such a powerful story. It was absolutely, blew everyone away, really, in terms of the, you could really relate to her, and she was a very natural storyteller. And I know now she wants to go on and do little video workshops around UX and UI, because she's got a real passion about helping people understand that. And, you know, Cheryl in terms of putting out recruitment videos and things like that, and it's just amazing to see people grow in confidence. And it doesn't have to be the big things like the winning awards or promotions. It's just about people feeling more confident in themselves and their abilities, and understanding they're being true and authentic to themselves, and understanding that they're embracing those skills and experiences and project that into their organisation or their community, and knowing, you know, that's enough.
Yeah, 100%, definitely. So in terms of kind of diversity then, and going back to growth mindset that Liv and Ant was discussing with you earlier, I'm a big believer in growth mindset's everything, certainly as a sales manager, but also the Women in Tech ambassador, and just kind of very quickly looking at how I got into technology through a change of career just over 2.5 years ago. So traditionally I worked in a banking and travel background, had lots of sales experience and transferable skills, but nonetheless, you know, very much out of my comfort zone transitioning and embarking on a career in tech. steep learning curve, but I've absolutely loved it and wouldn't change anything. If anything, I wish I probably would have done it earlier, but hey, hindsight's a wonderful thing. If we look at growth mindset and diversity and kind of creating awareness for either people that have had a career break or, you know, females and males that don't necessarily consider a career in tech, how important do you think diversity is, and do you think companies are doing enough to ensure that their teams are diverse? It's something that I look at very closely as a hiring manager, and I'm sure Olivia does the same. Because we're all accountable, we've all got a responsibility. How do you think other companies can do more?
Yeah, great question. We've always started with the diversity angle, but I'm a great believer of actually starting with the inclusion aspect. So if companies want to hire a more diverse workforce, they have to ensure that their culture is inclusive, because the worst thing that, you know, that can happen is you go out, you know, you talk about all the initiatives you want to do, you know, you're successful at hiring more diversity, and then you don't retain them. I've seen that happen time and time again, because they've not like got their infrastructure right within their organization to make sure they have an inclusive and belonging culture. So I think for organisations out there, they need to be honest with themselves. And we have very honest and frank conversations with organisations. We do like a due diligence process, because we need to make sure that when our returners transition into companies, that they're then supported from that diversity element, that, you know, that we don't want to literally like leave them and then, you know, that they're not happy and they leave. Our sort of ethos is that, like, you know, Sarah and Simon, they've had long successful careers with you, and that's what we strive to aim. So we need to make sure we're right, we're working with organizations, and if that organization isn't right at that particular time, we then help them understand why and what they can do, and things that they can start to look at within their organization, talking about, right, okay, well, why, what are the, you know, what the founders doing, what the leaders doing, what do the employees feel, and start to build that sort of overview of the culture. You can't just say one day I'm going to have an inclusive culture. You've really got to build upon it and work on it. I'm sure you're probably fully aware of, you know, the hard work you do at ANS. So I think it's starting with inclusion, and then once you've got an inclusive culture, it's then looking at diversity, but not just in terms of, you know, bringing more women in, diversity of thought, and a bit what you were saying there, Megan, about, you know, your heap of transferable skills, is getting companies to recognise that, you know, that like being a parent, I look at, you know, applications and things like that in a totally different way, because, you know, I might be looking at something from a, you know, having children's perspective, or if somebody's worked in a different industry sector, what they can look like, you know, in terms of creativity. We all know, obviously, the stories about UX and UI, you know, when a man developing it and designing it to a woman, and we need to be that diversity of thought in that as well. And all those transferable skills that returners have are just so valuable to businesses, and I think it's what they need to look out for more. But I do believe you've got to have your culture right before you even start looking at diversity.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, it's small steps, isn't it? You can't, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I think if we start looking at challenges as opportunities, as opposed to kind of a negative, so much can come from that. I know that myself and some of the team across ANS, we've recently created a careers knowledge portal, similar to kind of what you said there, I guess, around how do we create awareness for those, both in the industry, you know, outside the industry, people that have perhaps had a career break of almost a day in their life and an art of the possible. You know, tech isn't just about being a data scientist or a coder, as amazing as they are. There's lots of other vocations in technology, whether that be from, you know, marketing, operations, project management. There's so much to kind of look at and educate on. So that's been really, really useful for us. And I think as well, what's really become prominent to us probably over the past 2 or 3 years since we started our Women in Tech initiative is the fact that in Manchester, we're the second largest tech hub in Europe after London. There's so much opportunity. And I think certainly for us, going back to the whole culture piece and diversity and inclusion, we recognise that we've really got to try and make an impact. So as you mentioned, you know, right from the top of the chain with our CEO, Paul Shannon, all the way down to our apprenticeship scheme, everyone's got a role and everyone feels valued and we feel passionate about making that difference, which is, you know, lovely to be a part of being an employee at A&S as well.
It's really crucial. It's like we're making a massive statement in the market. So for every programme we're doing going forward, we're eliminating the sieving, because we found over the past couple of years there's so much bias on people's CV. They see a gap, and you know, your unconscious bias creeps in and you go, oh, that person's had a 5-year career gap, you know, they're going to be, you know, they're not going to be as knowledgeable, or they haven't got a university degree, you know, all those biases kick in. So what we've created for our programs going forward, and we're also saying this to organizations, if you're truly want to embrace working with tech returners, you'll work with us on this. You won't see it as like, oh my God, what we're going to do, not got a CV. We're actually creating a returner profile. So a document, an interactive document, which showcases the returners' skills and highlights the transferable skills, experiences, and the projects that they've created, to actually bring it to life rather than just reading an aerial 10 document, you know, in the same format that God knows how many people, how many times you read them, just bringing that person to life so we can eliminate those biases, therefore allowing companies to be more inclusive and therefore attract diversity and talent as well.
Wow. I feel like I've learned something.
No, that's the main thing, like what Megan said, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. I always remember when we did have one of our first Women in Tech meetups, there was a gentleman stood at the one of the tables at WeWork where we hosted it, and we were talking about job descriptions, and he ran his own tech startup, and we were talking about the decoder, which is the where you put your job description in, it tells you how masculine and feminine it is. And he just says, you know, I didn't intend on actually coming. I was just literally working in here and WeWork, and I stopped to listen. And I said that, he says, I've learned something. He says, I've never really thought about it from my own perspective. I'm actually going away and taking something away. And that's what it's about. It's about being aware. Some people just aren't aware and they need their eyes open. And that's what we say at Women in Tech North. We want men and women to come, because if we're going to change the narrative, we need to be inclusive of everyone, and everyone needs to be involved on that. So it's about learning and taking those learnings away and talking to people, putting them into practice, and you know, gradually over time we will get there.
Well, I've got a question for you, Becky. Obviously you've been running this program for the last 5 years. What's kind of the biggest impact that you've seen, and the biggest, you know, thing that's changed, you know, whether it's just in Manchester or the Northwest, over those 5 years? Has there been a, you know, like a standout moment where you think, yes, we're definitely making an impact here?
I think in terms of the number of organisations just approaching us, you know, hearing about us, seeing it's a different sort of take on your traditional talent and attraction. And we don't have a sales division. You know, we're very fortunate that we have companies wanting to work with us. We've now mapping out our programs 12 months in advance. You know, it's an amazing position to be on. But it's a more amazing that the fact that companies are understanding that the value a returner can add to an organization. And you know, look at the two fantastic talented people you've got in your business, that you may or may not have overlooked them, but now companies are waking up to the fact there is a different way of doing things. And I think that's, it's just I suppose it's just creating that education into a very sort of traditional, even tech is fast moving, it's quite traditional in its outlook, and being part of that change movement is just something, you know, amazing that our name now gets recognised, not from, you know, from a personal perspective, but because of the work that we do. And then from a daily basis, you know, when you secure, I always say when people join Tech Returners as a business to work for us, and I say it's not easy, you know, it's ups and downs. We're startup scale-up organization, it's, you know, it's tough at some times and we're all pitching. I said, but those moments where you get those messages and they say, you've changed my life, I never actually thought I would have this opportunity again, you can't thank us enough, you know, those messages are just life-changing. We are actually changing people's lives, and it's the most rewarding or unbelievable experience ever that there's now been over 120 people that we've enabled back into technology, over 70% of them being women. And it's just absolutely amazing when you get that sort of sense of, yeah, we've had a part to play in that. Mm. And we're really changing that landscape in terms of so much more diversity into technology as well.
Yeah. And it's also I'm gonna think about how I'm gonna phrase this, but what you're doing really is you're teaching people that they are able to achieve anything that they want.
Yeah.
And being female does not have to be a barrier to that.
Definitely. So I'm a great believer in this. Like when I first had my first child, Ethan, I conform to what society tells you. So society tells you go off on maternity leave, you have X number of months off, you come back, blah, 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 you don't work. And, you know, and then it wasn't right for me. My mental health wasn't right. I'm quite a very driven person. I just couldn't sort of switch off. I was taking on all these side hustles while I was supposed to be relaxing and going to baby groups, but that wasn't for me. So when I got pregnant with my daughter, I said, I want to do things different. I want to show that whatever you want to do, you can do it. So I only took 19 days maternity leave. And that horrified, I can see some people's faces like horrified, 19 days. But yeah, because that was good for me because I'm lucky in the business. I was able to take her with me. So I was still feeding in meetings. She came to a Women in Tech meetup group when she was like a few weeks old. She's on stage with me.
That was the first time I met you, Becky, when you had your daughter.
Yeah, love that.
It was amazing.
And I wanted to show that whatever your choices are, you shouldn't be judged. It's your own journey, your own path. You shouldn't be governed by what people say you should do. Mm. So if you wanted to, you know, come back to technology after a career break, you can do. If you want to, you know, progress into leadership and, you know, come back and 3 months after maternity, you can do. It's your own decision. And it's something that's really important to me to showcase. And when I wrote a blog about it, and I had so many women reach out to me and said, I'm just so glad that, you know, I'm not the only one that feels like that. And also women who did take longer on maternity leave saying, yeah, at least we see it both sides. You know, no one should be judged. No one should be judged about the decisions they make. And that's something that's really important to me.
Yeah. What do you think the future holds?
So very exciting. So this year, like I said, really focusing on Tech Returners. We're now working with yourselves again, which is amazing. Growing in terms of the confidence community, and we're launching like upskill programs. So I know some of your ANS developers have been on our DevOps upskill program. So we're sort of progressing that. We have got plans to go internationally in the next year or so. We've got quite a lot of demand. So it's really, really exciting. Just an amazing time to be involved in technology and especially the Greater Manchester scene. I just can't wait to get back into more collaboration events and seeing people in person, doing the meetups. We're doing our first Women in Tech North in-person meetup, sort of like hybrid model, so still doing it on online as well in December, part of like a Christmas party. So I really can't wait to start meeting people in person again. I've missed it a lot.
Oh, tell me about it. I can't wait. I've not been to many social events, and I'm desperate to have someone hold my hair back while I'm throwing up. So.
You know, you're a social butterfly, aren't you, Anthony? You've been cooped up.
I feel like I've had my wings clipped, but they're growing back, and I can't wait to get out there.
An interesting question. I'll ask you back, Anthony. You know, so it's a bit similar, you know, to the situation that we're going through at the moment, about if you were quite a social butterfly, as you call it, and then you weren't, and then going back into those social environments. How have you found that transition?
To be honest, I've been so desperate to do it. It hasn't been that hard. On a personal level, and I don't know if this will make it into the final edit, but my partner he's still very, very cautious. I think that lockdown has hit him more than either of us expected. And he's very, very, why do you mean you're going out? Why are you going out with them? Have they been vaccinated? And da, 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 da. And he's very kind of, he's very sort of paranoid, and he's got this fear inside him that I completely understand and I empathize with. But I think it will take him time, but he will eventually let go, and we can slowly get back to normal. But I'm in a very kind of conflicted place, because I want to be there for him. He's my life partner. And for those who don't know, I'm celebrating 10 years with him in 3 weeks' time.
Oh, congratulations.
I know. Can you believe that? I didn't think anyone would spend 10 minutes with me, let alone 10 years.
Are we buying him a medal?
I'd marry you, Anne.
But yeah, so I'm very much like wanting to go out, want to go spend time with friends and go to pubs and things like that. And he's very kind of he's gone the other way. So I kind of have to toe the line. And and I'm trying to do both. So we know that, like with ANS events, I don't go to all of them, but I'm going to go to some of them, and just to sort of ease him in. And I think we have booked a trip at the end of the year to Mexico, which is currently on the red list. So we'll find out if we're actually going or if I'm expecting a refund on that one. But I think once we fly and we go abroad together, I think it will be easier for him, because he's going to be around other people and he's not going to want to be cooped up in the room all the time. So
I think it's that thinking about it, and you know, that fear of the unknown, that really affected. I know when we first, because on the Confidence Collective, I wanted to do that and kept it in person. Online just wouldn't work. Big emphasis is obviously sharing your vulnerabilities, and it's very hard over the camera to really form those connections.
Yeah.
So when I opened it back up back at the middle of the year, a lot of the people in the cohort were quite anxious. But it was like giving them that reassurance, putting those measures in place, you know. And once they'd done it, them coming in to them walking out were like totally different people. They were so glad that they did it and actually got through that. I think it's just going to take time for people to adapt again.
Yeah. And the thing is, sorry, you go, Liv.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like that similarity that you've drawn there, Becky, between, you know, what everybody's been through over the last 18 months, and then take yourself out of those shoes and imagine if you were, you know, a woman and you've gone off and had a baby, and it's a very similar thing, isn't it? Take away the actual particulars of what's happened. It's you've come out of something for such a long time and maybe lost your confidence, and then you've got to throw yourself feet first right back in, and everybody around you is expecting you just to get on with it. So maybe perhaps there's, you know, a COVID silver lining, because there are some out there, but people might be more understanding, and hopefully that'll help, like, you know, make the change.
Definitely. Yeah. I say this, I'm a person that has to look for opportunities in things, and everything's learning. And I do believe exactly what you said. I said this about 6 months ago. People are going to have more empathy with people returning, because unfortunately they might be made redundant. They might have been furloughed. They might, you know, have to have more CVs crossed past the desk now with career gaps on because of the unfortunate situation. But it will, in the long term, create me able them to be more empathetic to people returning. So I'm hoping for our industry especially, it will be a very positive change. And especially, again, with this remote working, you know, flexible working won't be seen as a benefit anymore and listed on your website. It's going to be the norm. You can work from everywhere. You know, I just think it's just going to be such a positive thing. Companies stick to it.
I think flexible working is definitely the future. And I would like a 4-day working week, I won't lie. But that's a little bit, that's another step to the left. I don't think a lot of people are ready to take.
You might have to move to Scandinavia or something to get that in your working lifetime.
But it's so cold in Scandinavia.
This needs a podcast session by itself, this topic.
Especially when they're going to start, was it the latest in the news about deducting pay for people working at home?
Stupidest. I know. I read that as well. And I'm not going to mention the organisation that did it, but it's the stupidest thing I've ever read. You know, I think people are more productive at home. I've got so much more done in the last 18 months than I did in the 18 months prior.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy that I think giving people options makes things so much easier, and it makes everyone so much happier. And do you know what? Happier people work harder and they care more, and they, you know, and I just think that. It's been a really tough 18 months, and I feel like we're at the cusp of the end of it. And we should not just go, well, let's all go back to the way it was before, because we've all learned so much. And I think we need to apply that learning to make everyone's lives that little bit better. And I do genuinely think one of the cornerstones to that is flexible working.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And we've proven, you know, for however how long it was, it can be done.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure if they look at the data, probably people are actually working longer hours. And we're having that discussion within Tech Returners now about actually logging off means logging off. You know, and there is that sort of habit now, we're always on. And it's something that's really important to me, you know, leading by example. You know, you don't be on 24/7, you still need your downtime because you're not having that commute, you're not having that separation. Yeah. So probably companies are finding that people are working more. So, you know, it's a fine balance, really.
It throws up all sorts of other problems, doesn't it? That I feel, for me, especially at the minute, is definitely another podcast. How do we make sure people are looking after themselves? They don't have all the, you know, you can't just jet off on holiday and things anymore. That used to be so easy for people to wind down. So it's you know, there are some silver linings, but there's other things that we need to be aware of. So definitely another podcast title in that.
Yeah, for sure. On that note, we are coming to the end of this episode. I know we said we'll talk for half an hour, but we just can't shut up most of the time. Becky, we're going to have to do this as a quick fire round because we are running out of time, but we always end the podcast by asking people what they've been watching on the plethora of streaming services. And I won't lie, every time I blink, there's a new one. So what's been tickling your interests in the world of television?
So I've been watching a series called Startup, which is on Netflix, and it's all about cryptocurrency, something that, you know, has really interested me, but I've never really understood it before. you know, you're talking about blockchain. And the Internet of Things, etc. And it's like a series talking all about three individuals from very different backgrounds doing this, building this system, this platform for cryptocurrency, and how they trying to get funding and backing, and obviously a bit of you know, violence and drama and everything else thrown in between. So it's really, really good, and I've learned a lot actually. I've learned a lot through it as well.
Everyone I know who's got into cryptocurrencies have all lost a lot of money, and I love because you see people on YouTube that always talk about crypto, and they've got these big they've got like 4 or 5 monitors, like they're in the Matrix, with loads of big graphs with like the rise and fall of the value of all the currencies that they're currently invested in. And I'm like, I think I might put some money into it, and they're like, don't do it, Anne. You're stupid when it comes to stuff like that. Don't do it. You'll go for the one that looks the prettiest, and you'll end up losing a fortune.
Yeah, and then the other one I've been watching is Working Mums.
American. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. So it's obviously, the title says it all. But obviously all these women with children, very different backgrounds and various situations, working mums, self-employed, you know, different types of relationships. But I love the start of it, because at the start of it, they were all in this sort of play group, and they weren't talking about anything baby-related. They were talking about like relationships, or you know, just some really quirky things, and it was just so true to life. It just makes me absolutely crack every time I watch it. So anyone you know, wants a good laugh, something a bit lighthearted, watch that as well.
Do you watch Motherland?
Yes, it's America, sort of American version of that.
Yeah, it sounds like Motherland, yeah. Which oh my gosh, that show is just so good. Who's the name of the woman that's in it? She was in Line of Duty. Anna.
Well, Line of Duty. I was like, no, that can't be her playing that character. It was just too.
She is a very, very good actress, because she makes you believe her in every single role. She's so different in both roles.
When she came in and that end couple of scenes of Line of Duty, I was like, I'm absolutely scared of her. I'm really scared.
I am actually Googling. I think she's got my surname. I think it's Anna Maxwell or something, isn't it? Anna Maxwell Martin. Yeah, I should remember
she's
that.
Brilliant casting. Yeah, she's really, really good.
Megan, what's been tickling your fancy on the telly?
So I've not watched any of those programmes. I feel like I've let myself down, because they all sound absolutely fantastic. I recently watched a documentary film called The Dissident, which you may or may not heard of. It follows the assassination of Jamal Khashoggi, who was a Saudi Arabia journalist for the Washington Post. And he got assassinated in his embassy in Turkey. It's very gripping.
Yeah.
It's very interesting and very, very harsh, but a fantastic educational piece.
I remember that being in the news, because I want to say it was the Russians, but I can't remember correctly. The Dissident, I'm going to watch that, because I remember reading about that a while ago now when it happened.
Yeah, it was very high profile. I don't think it was the Russians. I might have to watch it again and double check, but it was the Saudi Crown Prince, right. Mohammed bin Salman. So, yeah, definitely worth a watch.
Okay. Right, Liv, tell us what trash you're watching. And I'm not allowed to mention Love Island.
I was literally going to say, in the interest of being diverse and not judging one another, I've been watching Love Island. So,
Do you know what? I was listening to a podcast the other about a week ago, and it's a video game podcast for a video game called Overwatch, because of those who listen to this podcast know I'm a big gamer, and they are talking about Love Island, and it's an American podcast.
Love that, it's gone global. Oh, brilliant. No, it's lovely to have you both on today. I feel like we've had a really good chat, and like Anthony said before, I've learned loads and been really interesting. So thank you both of you for joining us. It's been great.
Thank you for having me.
It's been fantastic. Becky, it's been, you are always welcome to come back. Megan, you can, all right then, you can come back too. And, but Liv.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
It's been an absolute pleasure. It really has. And as the only male on the board today, I have to say, I have actually learned something. And I mean that one thing I've learned to do is look and just keep my eyes open. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, and
just be aware.
Yeah. Exactly, because you can be aware of something and you can see something, but sometimes you don't look, and I think that's important. Anyway, I would end on a lighthearted note, but the TV program I was watching was Mayor of Easttown, and which is just devastating and amazing, and it's heavy as anything. So I will talk about that another time. Liv, it's always a pleasure, my darling.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Lovely. Enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I shall see you all again next week. My name's Anthony. She's been Olivia. She's been Megan. And we've had our special guest, Becky. This has been the ANS podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere they have computers, basically. So, yeah, go find us on the socials. And we'll see you all on the next episode. Thank you for listening.